Today, Mark says that Jesus draws his disciples to himself. So something really important is about to be shared. Something is about to be revealed that they must not miss. And what we get here is what I like to call another example of divine logic, which turns human logic upside down. The apostles have been raised to believe that people who had a lot of things and a lot of money were the blessed and favored by God. And those who were poor, lived on the margins of society, had somehow sinned or brought this all on themselves. Once again, Jesus turns this thinking upside down. In their eyes, a woman's contribution was just about worthless compared to what others had given. And Jesus reveals that God measures the gifts given on a basis totally different from human calculations. God looks at the motives of the heart. The others had contributed from their surplus. They gave to God what was left over after they'd taken care of themselves. But this woman gave from her poverty. She gave from her substance, not from her surplus. Her gift meant that now she would have to rely on God. There's a kind of reckless generosity here that reveals something about God, which in the end is really the purpose of this story, to show us something about God. She is an example of the kind of giving that is God-like. For God gave his only Son for our sake, holding back nothing for himself. These words of praise for this widow are the very last words that Jesus ever speaks in the temple. It is his final revelation of God's love for us. What he would have us see is that God is like this poor widow, who does not give leftovers, extra change, or hold back anything for himself. It's all or nothing for God. The focus of Jesus here is not the scribes, of whom we should be aware, but the focus is on this woman. Jesus equates her gift to the house of God with the gift of God himself. But something about us always makes us and leads us to be impressed by what is big, what is expensive, at the cost of ignoring or overlooking what is small. G.K. Chesterton once remarked that if size is the criterion, then a whale should be the image of God. He was often upset by natural scientists whose excitement about the scale of the universe reduced humanity to insignificance. He said it was a vulgar notion, like trying to infer the value of someone's personality from the size of their bank balance. If it's the size of things that matters, then the death of a young man 2,000 years ago outside of Jerusalem was to all but a few contemporaries an insignificant event. The last moments of a crucified criminal dying unnoticed by secular historians in an obscure corner of the empire. What's one little death on a cross? You would think it might have been reported with a two-line notice on page 4 of the local paper. After all, it's only a little thing compared to the media coverage celebrities get in this day and age. However, that little thing, that little death outside of town was filled with a power to which no limits can be set on heaven and earth. It ought to affirm for us, once and for all, the truth that little things matter in a very big way. and that giving from our substance rather than from our surplus is really the kind of sacrifice that matters.